Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
When we're talking to girls, technology seems to have this image problem. So it's either for geeks or it's about coding, or girls simply feel that they just don't fit in. It's not for them.
I'm Vanessa Vallely OBE, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. Never has it been more important that we get more young girls into tech. Today we hear from an incredible panel discussing how individuals and companies can encourage more girls to pursue careers in STEM. We will hear from our incredible panel who are all running campaigns and initiatives to support schools and young adults with the skills and encouragement they need to prepare them for a career in their chosen field of technology, science, engineering or maths. Our role model, Sheridan Ash, works in the tech innovation and women in technology space at PwC. Rav Bambra is the founder of Kajiku, an agile app that provides mentoring and support to girls and women to accelerate their growth into tech, digital and engineering and leadership careers. Anne-Marie I'm a Fidden MBE is a British computing, mathematics and language child prodigy. She is truly amazing and she is also the founder of the incredible STEMX. The inspiring Anna Brailsford is CEO of Code First Girls and was previously the commercial director of Lynda.com, the training arm of LinkedIn. Chelsea Slater is the co-founder and director of Innovate Her, an incredible company that is getting girls ready for the tech industry and the industry ready for girls.
So one of the first things that we wanted to talk about is the impact of COVID on sort of young girls and things like social mobility and digital access. And I mean, Anna, I think you, obviously with what you do around Code First Girls, you must have been seeing this, and it'd be interesting to hear about what you've seen and how you've adjusted what you do.
So I think in the first couple of weeks of lockdown, we were very much thinking, how do we pivot our operation? We've very, very public KPIs that we need to hit around, you know, the extent to which we're providing provision for young women. So we pivoted at our entire operation. We made provision for 8,000 women to be taught virtually. Also retrained our entire instructor pool, of which we have about 300. And yeah, the operations team completely changed. What I have to say is, as a result of that, you know, we trained in excess, I think, of, we're halfway between sort of 4,000 women virtually, which is actually quite unbelievable, given that we weren't really doing any virtual training beforehand. And what we've noticed is that we are training twice as many women at this point as we were last year. So I think in many ways, COVID has actually brought advantages for women that want to learn. We're processing around about 1,000 applications every 10 days. So the demand to learn how to code and get into technology throughout COVID has gone absolutely. And it's just a question of how we meet that demand, really. So yeah, that's been the impact on ours, David.
That's incredible, though, that you're seeing that opportunity and how you're addressing that.
I think we all started this pandemic thinking, what has just happened? And we're coming out of it slowly thinking, hey, we can access and creativity for a large group of people. So Anne-Marie, I'd love to kind of hand it to you and see, you know, how do you see the new normal? And what does it really mean for you with STEMX?
So yeah, with STEMX, it's been a wild journey. We've done 13 weeks of what we called our kind of STEM mode in lockdown sessions, and have had more than 3,000 people from across the world tune in 3 times a week to Instagram Lives, to Wednesday tutorials, to Monday role model sessions. We took the decision as an organisation to say, we're not going to race to go back to doing physical events. We want to make sure, you know, that our team members are safe, the girls are safe, and the families we work with are safe. And so, you know, virtual has been where we've gone, where we're, you know, we're about to kind of roll out our summer programme, bring back Outbox, which is something we ran 5 years ago. We're kind of 115 girls under one roof. We're now going to have 200 of them, you know, virtually in one space online, learning from each other, gaining certifications, which I think has been another kind of great benefit of this time. Has been, you know, as much as people have lost roles and employment is looking uncertain, we've seen a lot of our community turning towards wanting to get real qualifications, wanting to skill up at this time. And so for us, the new normal is going to be, you know, working virtually, keeping girls safe online, and being able to use this as an opportunity to educate them on doing that, and also our mentors and our volunteers on what does it mean to be kept safe online and kind of create those safe spaces, but also trying to reach those who, you know, don't have that digital access, which I think, you know, there's been great work going on with Innovate Her, and this is something that we're stepping up and now doing across our programs, which is, you know, if you're somewhere that doesn't have the broadband, if you're somewhere that doesn't have 3G or 4G, you know, us trying to revamp our offering to make sure that then, you know, you can still be a part of what's going on, you can still dial in. When it's safer, we might have, you know, vans going around, being able to kind of broadcast in local spaces. So for us, the new normal has been about taking advantage of being able to reach people in a wider set of areas, but also ensuring that we are still able to kind of be inclusive and be accessible with what we're doing. That's been the kind of the change, or that's been the direction that we've had to head in.
Yeah, I love that. There's so much to unpack there. You know, words we've used, safety. We're thinking about safety online, accessibility, and just making sure that we are inclusive. We started a mentorship program thinking we're going to get 20 signups. We've had over 150 all over the world. But similar to yourself, sometimes the tech doesn't work. And so creating resources and case studies and really thinking about your business within your business, rather than just constantly events, really works. You already kind of mentioned Chelsea and the great work we're doing at Innovate Her. What about your new normal? And also the second question I'd like to ask is, how important is it for us as organizations to really give the support, not only to young people, but to the families and the parents and the guardians around them? And, you know, getting women into tech or young girls into tech isn't just a young girl problem. We have to get our parents and we have to get the families on board as well.
So going back to the new normal, I think I've had a similar experience to Anne-Marie and Anna. And it was really difficult at the beginning. We were working in 50 schools across Liverpool and Manchester, and they were in motion. We were like 6 weeks in, 2 weeks left, working with hundreds of girls. And then it all got stopped because of lockdown. If you would have spoken to me then, I would have probably been crying, like, what the hell are we going to do? But the team actually here, there's five of us at Innovate Her, and they were amazing. And we had a three-year plan to go online, and it just became our immediate one. And we are now, we have three cohorts online, learning tech for good. But one of the things that we really noticed is the accessibility problem. So it's been in the news. A lot of children can't get access to education because they haven't got a device or they haven't got internet access. We were really passionate about making sure that our programs were accessible to those people as well. So we partnered with the Prince's Trust. Unfortunately, it was just in Greater Manchester that we were able to do that. So they were able to provide young people from the age of, well, 16 and under. So it was, we work with 12 to 16 year olds. So we were able to offer that service, and we've managed to give devices to some girls there. Because of funding restrictions, a lot of these devices and dongle organizations that are giving them out, unfortunately they're giving them out to the older age groups and adults. So it was really important for us to find a partner that did give younger people the access, because we believe that their education is so important. They're the ones that really need it. So we've partnered with them. We've also, so we charge parents a small fee for a girl to come on a course. But we also wanted to make sure that we were able to have donated places, because we need to exist. So we needed to find income in a different way. So we've got donated places, and we give them out to people on people premium or people within the disadvantaged communities as well. And then we also partnered with an amazing organisation called CHAN in Manchester. Yeah. They deal with domestic violence, and that's been increased awfully across the pandemic as well. So we have members and we have organizations that fund us that way, and a percentage of the new members that come on board then goes to CHAN as well. So we've tried to look at accessibility across the board as much as we can, but we are a small team and there's so much more to be done. But it is so important right now, because like you said about parents and teachers, they're struggling with the technology. They might not have a device, they might not know what to teach, so it's we need to also support them.
Yeah, thank you for that. Anna, similarly, you know, you are helping a number of kind of girls online get into coding. And last time we spoke, you said you had just increased applications, you know, more than you were probably expecting or could manage. Can you tell us a little bit more about Code First Girls and the opportunities, but also some of the challenges you're facing getting girls into coding?
Yeah, so we're actually just, I think, on the cusp of 17,000. Code First Girls is predominantly actually is a university network. A really high percentage of women have degrees. What COVID does to do is to make our courses more women outside of universities. we also, you know, can attract women from outside of that type of socioeconomic background. One of the big changes that we've noticed now is the focus on employability. So transition where we're not just looking at trans-skilling women up, but then how do we increase their chances of employability? And that's really about working with industry, different companies. So, for example, we are getting requests through not just around how to help women that are still in early careers into tech jobs, but we're also getting requests through about reskilling programs. We're seeing a very, very big emphasis on employability right now. And I think the future for CodeGirls is not merely about educating the extent to which we can help people back into work.
The theme that keeps coming up is that skill set so that you can be employable. So that we're bringing everyone on that journey, and how can industry leaders really get involved? And it's great. Honestly, it's great to hear the work that's been done by all your organizations. I'd like to take it to Rav and talk about how important is it to get these industries involved, and also to talk about the mentoring aspect, because obviously that's what you do with all the work that you're doing. It's how do we bring industry experts, leaders, thought leaders, and representation to younger girls, especially to show them, you know, you can be what you can see, and here we are for you to see.
So we work with girls in schools from the age of 14 upwards. And when we're talking to girls, technology seems to have this image problem. So it's either for geeks or it's about coding, or girls simply feel that they just don't fit in. It's not for them. And they just don't see themselves working in tech careers. The other thing that we've really noticed in schools is that schools are delivering a curriculum which is out of date. It's not fit for the 21st century. It doesn't really talk about how you can navigate your career path into the technology world. We deliver bespoke blended learning workshops, which consists of a 3-hour session, and then we follow through with the Codigo app, which provides support from industry mentors. And we've really started to create some impact with our programs because we use like a why, what, how approach. So why does it matter for girls to get STEM education? Because 80% of future jobs require STEM skills. So once they start to understand that, we can then start to break down and demystify what it means to be a woman in STEM, a woman in tech, a woman in digital. They're hearing all these buzzwords in schools through all these companies who are coming in, but they're still getting confused. So we're able to run some hackathons and link that around to their passions. So when they understand the why, they can see the what is it that they need to do? What subjects can they study and bring tech into it? So, you know, when we're looking at maths, we're looking at the future, we're looking at algorithms, AI, it's really important for that. When you're looking at your creative ability, there's lots of careers that you can get into that way too. And then the how. So we channel it through, we do the hackathons, and we actually help them see how they can navigate that career pathway. The really interesting thing is when these girls come into all of our workshops, and we've done this with every single workshop, we get them to sit down and talk about, you know, what do they know about technology? Who are their role models? They cannot name a single woman working in tech. Shocking. They can name men working in the technology industry. They can name male founders around the world, but they can't seem to name a female tech role model, which is really, really important. So we bring that into our program as well. It's really important that we make tech role models visible. At the end of 3 hours, 90% of the girls want to have a career in tech. They're really excited. They're buzzing. They leave the classroom really excited. But what we actually managed to do is raise aspirations. 98% of them want to work in a leadership role in the future. For us, that's a big hit because we shouldn't just look at bringing women into the industry. We should be talking to them about progressing up that career ladder as well. And we're tapping into that talent at a really, really young age. So we work with organizations who come into our workshops. We can make their role models visible from the industry and really get into demystifying what it does mean to be a woman in tech.
Everyone here, that is our mission, right? Our mission is to start from kind of the age of, since you're basically born, and get yourself into tech and show you role models. And one of the great things that you said, Pav, was representation. It's you want to make sure that you see who you can be, and from, you know, it's great to see over 80% of them then want to go into tech. They want to be industry leaders. It's always shocking that young girls can't name other women in STEM, other women in tech. And I think a part of that goes back to us not showcasing ourselves enough either, to be like, actually, here we are. And it's great to see everyone's taking that initiative to carry on forward. On the representation matters, Anne-Marie, I'd love to talk to you about STEMETS and currently what's happening in the world with Black Lives Matters, the importance of representation, the voices that we should be uplifting. And I guess my question has twofold, you know, how has that impacted positively or negatively your organization, the girls around you? And also for everyone who's listening, what can we do better to make sure that we are allies and that we are creating inclusive spaces, coming from someone who's kind of living it day in and day out?
Firstly, is ally is a verb, right? This is something you do. It's not a label. You know, you don't say something nice to a Black person once and then all of a sudden you're an ally. But it's in the way that you promote. It's in the way that you hire. It's in the way that you give positions of responsibility. It's in the way that you speak to other people. It's in who you listen to when you're running meetings. You have to have a growth mindset about how can you be better about talking about race, about dealing with people of different ethnicities, and ensuring that your kind of internal biases, but also the systemic biases, are things that you don't allow that to play out in the actions that you do. So whether it's looking at using Black-led organizations, Black-owned brands as part of your supply chain, you know, there's actually quite a lot to do. And fortunately, the discussion has meant that the resources that were already out there from UK Black Tech or from lots of different organizations, now is the time to actually go and read them and act on them. I think the other thing for people to remember is, you know, no matter what stage you're at in your career, and we're seeing this even more so with our girls and young women, you know, you have power, you have agency, and you have a sphere of influence. So how are you using that? What are you doing with the influence that you have? And anything that we do kind of is what builds our legacy. So even as women in tech, all of us here, you know, we're giving back, right? We're inspiring the next generation, but we're doing that because we know how important it's going to be for carrying on the work that we're doing. You know, the projects that we work on now mean nothing if there's no one that's going to be able to take it up and continue on and continue to show different perspectives and continue to make sure that the technology industry not only reflects society, but serves all parts of society, which is what we're seeing, thankfully, with, you know, some of the bigger tech giants that are pulling back on their use of facial recognition algorithms and kind of selling that out. You know, that's them taking on the responsibility that they've always had, that they kind of have forgotten about, that, you know, you don't just build tech and code for code's sake. You know, there's an impact in everything you do. And just because we can make it doesn't mean that we should. I've always been Black. We've always had Black girls on our program. And so for me, it's been really nice to see them, you know, feel comfortable, feel emboldened in this, but also actually see society and see the industry reflect their sense of value that they see in themselves internally, which I think sometimes when we run all white spaces, or when we run all male spaces, or when we're not inclusive and when we're not intersectional with the outreach that we're doing, we end up alienating people unnecessarily and we end up eroding the girls' sense of values. I've been really, really proud actually to see the response of Oster Metz and the positivity that they've had in the face of this, but also the sense of opportunity that they've all spotted. So our Oster Metz Society online network has been popping ever since, with girls kind of suggesting things and building others up.
Oh, I absolutely love that. One of the focus points that you really raised that we haven't kind of really delved into is that sense of community. That community, when it comes to technology, there is so much information right now online and everyone has a device. You know, I've got younger kind of cousins, they've got devices from the age of 2 and they're constantly on the news or they're reading. We also have to be really mindful of one kind of the mental health aspect, being online, information seeking. How do we control and filter? But secondly, this is a great opportunity for us as families, as guardians, to have these conversations, not to scare anyone, but to just make it really clear that this happens and this is how you can get through it. By having really honest conversations now, it will help them go forward. And thirdly, like you have the Oster Metz group, I know everyone here is really active on social media and building that sense of community. How can we use the community and the power of community to really embrace technology and encourage young girls in STEM? It's very much pushing them to these channels to say, you're not alone. And we can use technology now to find you someone who shares similar values, similar kind of outgoings, and create that community aspect, which is key in building a network. What is your thoughts on schools that have prevented tech classes, especially in all-girls schools? Were the arguments not there? Was the subject not specific enough? I'd like to take it to Sheridan, because I know from the PwC reports, it already states that, you know, kind of from the ages of like 8 to 13, that's when girls are kind of put off by STEM because of the confidence levels, and that's where we can really encourage them. So do you have any views on that particular question and how we can solve it?
My heart drops, really, because as I think Sonia or you said, somebody said that, you know, technology is in almost every job these days, and that's only going to increase. So if you don't have technology education, and I think of technology as, you know, skills for work and skills for life, you know, the technology, you need both. You need the technology skills that help you get through life because everything is online and, you know, apps and all the rest, but you need it in your work environment as well. I do think that there's something around lobbying government on that potentially. I mean, it's such a big issue that if a lot of schools are dropping it, why are they dropping it? Is it funding or is it just they deprioritize it incorrectly? So I guess for me, I'd want to know a little bit more why schools are dropping that subject, particularly as there's now a revamped technology, computer science GCSE. Everything we do as part of Tech She Can and our Tech We Can lessons is designed to get more girls and boys pick that computer science GCSE. But if it's not available, that's pretty tragic. So I guess I think government have to be involved in that conversation somehow, certainly the Department for Education. Why isn't it mandatory?
We speak to a lot of teachers. They're under so much pressure. And again, it's a government issue, I think, and we need to lobby for teacher support because there a lot of the teachers that we speak to, they're like physics teachers or maths teachers, and they're being made to teach computer science, which they've not got training in. So it adds extra pressure. They've got extra lessons to create, and they've got more classes and children to support. And then you've got the take-up of it. So as well as trying to learn this, they've got to learn like real-life case studies and learn why should they be learning technology. And a lot of teachers, understandably, just don't know because they haven't worked in the sector. So I think there's a lot of work that we need to do to support them, but also lobby the government so there's extra training. And I know that the government are putting a lot of training measures in, but there's definitely not enough, and there's nothing going on really in my local area for teachers to support them. So I think that would be a good start.
I agree with everything Chelsea just said. I would say that the stuff that we've been doing as part of Tech She Can, our Tech We Can lessons, they are not teaching tech, like coding, for example. They're not teaching that. They're all about teaching careers. What is tech like? How do you use tech in the retail sector? How do you use tech for fun? How do you, in the fun sector, how do you use it in manufacturing and engineering? And it's full of role model videos. Everything has role models in from all the organizers, the 165 organizations involved in Tech She Can. We've gone and out and interviewed all of them. So I think that's one way that organizations that we represent, and you know, I represent 165 businesses, we want to showcase our young, relatable role models, not dead ones or somebody that's the CEO of, you know, Facebook because it's just not relatable to young people. So I think there is something we can collectively do around that as well. But ultimately, government need to make sure schools aren't not putting that subject forward to girls and boys.
So it was International Women in Engineering Day on Tuesday. There is an APPG called Diversity in STEM. The secretariat for that is the British Arts Association, and they put out a really good report with a series of suggestions on what should be done across the education system to deal with PECS, so physics, engineering and computer science, kind of across schools. And there's quite a lot of levers for why schools don't provide computer science as a GCSE. I think we've kind of touched on it a little bit in terms of the situation for teachers. But you're right, it's just the choosing the right lever as government. Anything that happens in a school is defined by an SLT, right? If they aren't prioritising this and they've got, you know, mental health, they've got kind of the EBAC that we've got now, they've all got quite a lot of strains on their resources. And so actually what we need to do is collaborate and as industry be the ones to kind of help and support them with that, and also look to extracurricular provision. You know, there's a lot that you can do outside of school. You know, if we look at, you know, we've got a really internationally renowned creative scene, and that isn't because we've got a great creative curriculum in schools. That's because of the network of extracurricular and kind of outside school support that we have. So I think we as an industry need to step up and invest a little bit more in ensuring that if the education system is failing, that, you know, this is bigger than education. This is bigger than what happens in the classroom. This is bigger than, you know, GCSE and A-level exams. These are life skills, right? Digital literacy is something you need beyond school. So I think we all need to be able to take it seriously as a society and all play our part in ensuring that, you know, people can be digitally skilled up, people can appreciate tech, and that they can have that STEM capital.
Thank you. Absolutely love that. you know, what we can start doing as individuals is we can start showing up to these schools and giving talks. We can start sharing the expertise that we've been through. We can contribute to lessons where we can. I personally work with a lot of universities and do a lot of workshops and lecturing around what can you do in tech and what does it really look like. I'd love to ask the panel to kind of summarize, you know, what can we, in kind of one line or one word answers, to answer the question, what can we start doing now to encourage more young girls into STEM? And the second point as a summary is how can we help your organization?
I would like to see every organization embed a schools initiative into their diversity strategies. I think companies have an excellent opportunity to start developing their future talent. And the way to do that is to engage with them very early on. So I would encourage anyone to get in touch with me. We take companies into schools as part of our workshops. If there's any role models out there, any women who are working in the tech industry, you know, whether it's STEM, engineering, digital, get in touch with us. We like to make them visible. We'd like to take you into schools, we'll share your journey. So I'm sure more girls would like to hear from you.
We're a really small organization like some of the others here, and ideally, like, we need support in terms of organizations joining our network and being advocates, and not just even just sponsoring us, but really being engaged in the community and the programs that we deliver. We have a membership network, and that's really flexible. And the best thing about that now is that we can go national. We're not just based in Liverpool anymore. We need the support. There's only 5 of us. We're really grassroots. If you can't do that, then please just follow us on social media or sign up to be a mentor as well. We have a lot of mentoring opportunities for you as well. So
I think my key takeaway is we're doing CodeFest in 2020, a huge festival of coding and career opportunities. And get in touch. Come on board with us.
I think for me, because a lot of what we've spoken about is we've developed our Tech We Can materials to support all of that. So they're for teachers, for schools, and for pupils. And now we've made sure they're available to parents. For me, it's just if people, there's 12 lessons there, full of role models. You know, if anybody wants to push those out to parents, they know it's techwecan.org. And to the schools that they went to, then that would be fantastic for me. I think the other big takeaway for me, and I always come back to the word collaboration and coalition. So I think for all of us, the panel and others, is that, you know, we're doing some amazing things between us all, but it might be better in some cases for us to hook up together and do some joint initiatives to have a bigger impact. So I think for me, a takeaway is how can we work together more to have that more magnified impact, support each other?
I'm going to say investment. Investment of time, investment of resources, amplify what's going on here, join up, join in. But kind of to take it back to Chelsea's point, you know, some of us are small organisations here. So we're running this with really tiny teams. We're being highly impactful. A little goes a long way. And, you know, take this opportunity to build your legacy in lots of different ways.
Thank you so much. So just to summarize, what can we do to encourage young girls into STEM? We can invest our time, our resources. We can get involved through various initiatives. And most importantly, we can champion what is already happening rather than going out and making something new. We can just elevate what's already there. Thank you so much for the panelists. My name is Sonia Barlow. I'm the founder of LMF Network. You can get involved in our mentorship scheme. You can help to donate to the investment in exactly mentoring through the mentorship scheme to encourage girls into STEM and technology. But most importantly, you can get involved with all of the amazing other ladies on this panel today and their organizations and help to elevate and very much encourage young girls into STEM. Thank you again so much for your time, for your effort, for your honest contribution. Thank you.
Thank you. Sheridan, Rav, Anne-Marie, Anna and Chelsea, what an incredible panel. You could feel the passion through the mic. Thank you so much for being on this episode of She Talks Tech. And thank you to all for listening. I'm sure there's some great tips in there that you've all taken away to inspire you to help get more girls into tech. If you want to find out more about any of our panelists, you can find them on Twitter. A huge thank you to all of you for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe, sign up for future episodes and give us that 5-star rating. We look forward to you joining us every Wednesday for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.